Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. And with me in the studio once again, Mike Giles of the North Carolina Coastal Federation and Peter Fensel of the Coalition for Economic Advancement. We're talking about the special use permit and its impact on economic development. If you have a question for our guests, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. And of course, you can tweet us at @CoastlineHQR. Mike, we're going to talk about the grant that the Coastal Federation has received. But first, I want to get to this email from Kelly, who says, would the rail car industry with 1,300 jobs that was just announced for Wilmington, and I think she's talking about Vertex, would that be a good example of manufacturing jobs coming our way, even with the SUP for heavy industrial projects? Peter Fensel.
Absolutely.
I agree.
And so I guess the implied point here is Vertex showed up regardless of the fact that we have an SUP in place.
Well, now that's where the rubber meets the road. You know, I think you had a situation there where they with the right place at the right time, we had the right facility, we had the ports right next door. I mean, the place is set up to do what they want to do because Terex American Crane had been in there previous to them. So you don't. That is a rare opportunity. I'm glad that opportunity found us, but I think you could cite that as rare.
Mike, you received this $25,000 grant. You've told us a little bit about it, but this is, as you've said, to create a model special use permit that different sectors of the community could have input on and that would get buy-in from everyone.
Connie Majorette wrote a great op-ed. It was in the Wilmington Business Journal right after the 2-2 tie and said, let's quit this. Let's quit arguing. We agree with her. We went out and searched for money. We knew it was going to cost some money. We thought the best way to move forward and talk about the clarity and time frame and the requirements that we'd like to see in the SUP for the heavy industry should be part of that process, and it was going to cost money to do it. And what we thought the best way to do is to hire an independent planning professional, has no skin in the game, is not a Wilmington resident, and then come up with a group of stakeholders, a project team, so to speak, and sit down and craft a model SUP. And what we've hired a planning consultant. What he's done is we have given the information. That's the way the Coastal Federation operates. We don't try and favor the argument or the process either side. Given the information, he's got the current SUP. He's gotten the information on the proposals on the text amendments, and he has made a critique of our current SUP, and we have given that to the county.
And are you going to get buy-in from the business community?
We have leaders in the business community on this project team. We have reached out to the Chamber of Commerce. I believe they're going to come on board. We certainly hope so because they're important. We welcome anyone on this committee. We don't want it so big that it's cumbersome, but we want people that represent a smart look down the road on what we want to do, what we want to be as a community, what kind of industry we want. And I think Vertex is a great example. This is a great manufacturing company that comes here with a wide range of salaries and job opportunities, and 1,300 jobs is a lot of jobs. And what we want to do is what this consultant is recommending is creating a 3-tiered model SUP. We went to the county manager, sat down with him. He is.
So you've already talked with county staff about this process.
We have. The county planning department is going to be part of the process. We're going to sort of sit on the sidelines and let the project team do its work with the planning staff and with this consultant and come up. We're going to have our first meeting sometime in the middle of December, hopefully have a second meeting sometime in January, and have a model SUP to take to the county manager and let him make a judgment on whether it's something we want to move forward. And we hope this will stop the infighting, stop the argument, and bring the community together and come up with a solution for how we want to recruit industry in our community.
Peter Fensel, is this something that you've heard about before, this process?
I have heard about it on the fringe. I have not heard about it directly.
Is this something you think that the business community would buy into and participate in?
I guess possibly so, Rachel. But my answer to Mike would be we've already got an SUP in place. We've already got amendments for the SUP. I think if we could come to some agreement about the amendments on the SUP, we can go ahead and move forward. I see no reason to reinvent the wheel. I'm not against what they're trying to do. I think we're all, as I said at the beginning, we're all about the same effort. We're all trying to create jobs and have a good environment for us to all live and work in. But, I mean, I think we've already got a document. We've already got amendments. I think we could move forward from there and get on with life.
Were you happy with the version of the SUP that went before the Board of Commissioners in June of this year and then wound up going nowhere because the vote turned out to be a tie, so no action could be taken?
You mean the SUP with the Shipley amendments?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
And what was it about those amendments that work for you from the business community
Clarity.
Standpoint? Clarity on...
Well, the timelines, and it takes a lot of the politics out of this, and I think we need to be mindful of that. We don't need to have politics at play in this, and I think Ted pointed that out, that he's not saying that anybody necessarily would play the political card, but there's no reason you need to make sure that they don't have the opportunity to do that. And so, the timeline does a lot of that. If somebody's holding it over here for any particular reason, not to say that they would.
But right now, there is the ability to do that.
That's correct. That's right. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about the role of the special use permit in New Hanover County, its impact on economic growth, and where we need to go from here. With us in studio today, Peter Fensel of the Coalition for Economic Advancement and Mike Giles of the North Carolina Coastal Federation. If you have a question for our guests, give us a call at 910-343-1138, or you can send an email to coastline@whqr.org. And we have an email here. From Kane, she says, I believe the main purpose of the SUP is to allow local government and the local community to have a say in the types of businesses that are a good fit for our area. Without a special use permit, there's no opportunity for local elected officials or citizens, those most affected by what moves into their neighborhoods, to have a voice in the process. This has resulted in New Hanover County, the second smallest and most densely populated county in the state, to have the highest toxic emissions in the state, according to the EPA's releases of over 100 different pollutants, at least 14 impaired waterways. She cites a lot of potential environmental issues here. Peter Fensel, what do you say to someone like that who, I believe she's a resident of Castle Hayne, and she's looking at this from the point of view of a concerned citizen who lives close to some of these industrial sites?
I'm as concerned as she is. I live, as I said, every day on Highway 421. I live underneath the stacks of what is now Duke Progress Energy. I live right next door to where the incinerator was, right down the street from where Invista is. There's plenty of that stuff that goes on across the street from what used to be fertilizer plants that are not there anymore. And I think that can all be regulated so that it is whatever discharge is sent out. There are scrubbers for air if they don't meet air quality. There are ways to treat whatever the effluent is so that when it's put back into the waterways, that it meets federal and state standards. So I think a lot of that stuff is already in place. I share her concern, but I also think that We have done this. We have done this for a lot of years, and this still is a great place to live. Look at the population explosion in New Hanover County since 1990 and I-40 arrived. They're not running from us. If this is such an awful place, why are they still coming?
Do you think, Peter Fensel, from the Coalition for Economic Advancement, that there have been some environmental concerns in the area that have perhaps been overblown? Are there specific examples that you look back on where a company or an industry was accused of something and then it turned out to be not really a concern?
Well, I remember, and this has been a lot of years ago, when then Federal Paper was here and they were questioned about the discharge that they were putting into the Cape Fear River. And they had a meeting with the people from the EPA and Diener and that sort of stuff, and I spoke on that issue. And what we actually found out were two things. One is that we had an interbasin transfer going on between the Cape Fear River and I think it was Jordan Lake. Mike might know better than I where that water was being transferred, 10 million gallons a day. And when you take that much water out of a river, of course, there's going to be some impact on that, but when we got to the dissolved oxygen part of it, we found out, and the EPA, when I say we, the EPA and Diener found out, that most of that problem came from the Black River, from the rot of all of the aged stuff in the Black River, the tannins that come from all of that sort of stuff. That's where the oxygen was being, most of it was being dissolved. So I think you can, this is part of what I'm saying. You really have got to parse it, and you've got to look at it and find out what is the true facts about it all. And that's why we have these agencies, so we can get in and explore it. And if they find out that these people are not doing the right thing, then they have to correct the process. But if they're doing the right thing, then they should be allowed to do it.
So, again, Mike Giles, we've sort of come to this point before, but I think it's a good point to clarify. Why, then, does the environmental community feel that we need to have another layer of oversight for these kinds of issues?
Because the issues are so important to our future. And let me correct you. I don't think it's just the environmental community. We have hundreds upon thousands of citizens, doctor, medical professionals, business leaders, community leaders that share our concern. This isn't, if it's done correctly, it's not an onerous process. And we agree with the Coalition of Economic Advancement, with the chamber, that the SUP needs to be improved. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to do it in an open, transparent way, non-political, apolitical. And as Kane said, you know, without it, think about if it was now, there wasn't a Sutton power plant here, and Duke Power or any coal-burning power plant wanted to come in and build one. There was no regulation on coal ash, and we're sitting on a time bomb on the Cape Fear River. This is an issue that's been known for over 20 years, and nothing has been done about it. There's more toxic underground toxic storage areas and hazardous areas around Castle Hayne and Regalwood and Navassa than anywhere in the state, because we allowed that. Our community, our state, our federal government allowed that. We have been told, we keep going back to Titan, we've been told by regulatory agencies, get your own experts. We don't have the time, we don't have the money, and we don't have the expertise to fully evaluate a complicated industry like this. This is one of the heaviest polluters there are, and they're heavily regulated. We have no permit for groundwater withdrawal. Groundwater in this area is in a critical state. The Castle Hayne Aquifer is now no longer used by the Cape Fear Public Utility Authority for drinking water because the issues surrounding the Castle Hayne Aquifer. More withdrawals, millions of gallons a day from our aquifer is going to affect our local economy. It's going to affect our health. It's going to affect where we get our drinking water.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about the role of the special use permit in New Hanover County. And we have an email from Jess. She says, or he, I'm sorry, I don't know, to Peter Fensel, as a physician, you are incorrect. And she's saying she's a physician, that we can treat or control the pollution that would come from Titan cement. They will raise the level of toxins that are associated with lung cancer and other serious diseases. Titan cement has told us this will happen. We do not need to bring industry here that will poison our air and water for a couple dozen jobs. She raises an interesting point about the jobs. It seems like whenever Titan comes up, it's always, here's the potential environmental impact, the potential public health impact for 60 jobs, 75?
If you will read back what she said, and she says that I am incorrect, what did she say?
She said that we can treat or control the pollution that would come from Titan cement.
And?
They will raise the level of toxins that are associated with lung cancer and other serious diseases.
Okay. When you crank your car up every day, what are we going to say about the emissions that come out of that? I mean, I go back to this point, and I keep going back to it. Yes, they will put some pollutants into the air and some into the water. That's why we have the agencies that have the purview over regulating this kind of stuff. And, I mean, Titan is in Roanoke, Virginia. They are in Miami. They are in outside of Virginia Beach. All of those communities are surviving quite nicely. Most of them don't even know that they're there. There are farms around the one in Roanoke, Virginia, if you go up and visit that. So
I think we've had some reporters go to Roanoke and,
okay.
and come
well,
back and not been able to. The communities do seem to be pretty at peace with Titan
do.
As a neighbor.
They do.
In Roanoke.
That's apples and oranges.
Okay. You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about the role of the special use permit in New Hanover County, its impact on economic growth. We are getting close to the end of the show, gentlemen, and I want to make sure that we get some final thoughts from you. Mike Giles from the North Carolina Coastal Federation, where do we go from here? What would you like to see happen?
Well, number one, I really didn't want this conversation to be about Titan. This is about the future of the New Hanover and our Cape Fear region. What I hope the conversation and the process goes forward is we've reached out. We put our money where our mouth is. We have the funding. We have people interested in sitting down and talking about improving the special. We have a special use permit process. We agree it needs to be improved. What it is a tool for our local elected officials and planning board to make appropriate, informed decisions about where our growth goes, how we target our growth. We have a $100,000 report that the Garner Report, the city and county put together. It creates a vision, a future for our community, and we want to own this. There are different manufacturing companies, industries that we welcome here.
So we'll look forward to seeing then this negotiation process as you bring the players to the table and create this Model SUP
yes.
with the grant. Peter Fensel, final thoughts.
I think I'm celebrating my 60th year in Wilmington. I've seen a lot of transition come through here. I've enjoyed being a part of it, participated in everything from economic development to nonprofit. I think we're all smart enough to know what we want here. I know the processes are already in place to have that done, and I think we should move forward with that the way it is.
That's this edition of Coastline. I'd like to thank our guests, Ted Shipley of the New Hanover County Planning Board, Mike Giles of the North Carolina Coastal Federation, and Peter Fensel of the Coalition for Economic Advancement. Thanks to you, our listeners, and those of you who called in and emailed your comments. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.